Amen. What a blessing that is to hear this morning. You think about that. One day we get to see him if you're saved. Amen. What a blessing that is. Jesus did it all just so we'd have a way to be with him, and I can't thank him enough for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's so good to see it. Each of you this morning, good to see this number. Always good to see our young people. I keep telling people how thankful I am for the young people we have in our church. That's not a common thing in a lot of places, but I thank God for our young people and our young families, our families. I thank the Lord for everyone that attends faithfully with us. You're a blessing to me and an encouragement to me, and I appreciate that. If you will, let's be turning to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. Had this on my heart pretty much all week. You know, Brother Nathan, I just stepped out for just a minute, and I thought I'd already been replaced coming back out. And you sure you don't want to do this? You sure? Yeah, she said she didn't want to do it. So, all right. Now, I have to say, I appreciate my wife. You know, I guess that could go, maybe you could say that goes without saying, but I really do. I think about pastors, Brother Nathan, I think about you. I think about what it would be like to drive to church by myself on Sundays. We rode separate this morning, and I was thinking about that, and there's just, literally, there's no way that I could do all that needs to be done by myself. There's no way. All the worry that goes into things, all the extra help and that goes into the ministry, just day-to-day life, family life, but ministry as well. You know, Brother Raymond was spot on in Sunday school this morning. He's talking about how the work of the Lord truly is work. You know, sometimes you're in a good mood, sometimes you're in a bad mood, and I'm just going to tell you, me and Brandy, we're real live people. Just rip the veil down. You live in a fishbowl. You live in a glass house. We're real live people. I know she thinks I'm a peach to live with all the time, and I have to deal with her part of the time. I know that. But you know, I mean, we're real life people. And there's times that you get up and you mentally you want to do everything that you can do. And maybe physically you're so tired or kind of worn out and the body's just dragging a little bit, but you still want it to be what it could be. And I realized today, I thought about the ladies in particular today, not leaving the fellas out who cook and do things, because I know there's some, but I would say for the most part, the ladies probably had the bigger hand in what's taking place next door. You think about a meal, you know, that adds to the work, that adds to the stress, that adds to the pressure of getting ready for church. It just does. You know, some things can be, I guess, prepared the day before, some the day of, and you have to get up earlier, and you're trying to do that and think about everything. And I was thinking about Brandy this morning. She got up earlier this morning to make sure that things were fixed, and knowing that she's got Sunday school that she's going to teach that she wanted to do. And it's a lot on the mind. It's a lot. There's times I come through the doors, and my mind is racing. I might blow past people or whatever, not on purpose or anything like that, but it's, what am I going to say when I open? Am I going to misspeak? I mean, my mind's racing. For me, a lot of times, it's a lot easier after the service, because then I can kind of just calm down just a little bit. But if you're not careful, that's when discouragement sits in. You said, remember, you was going to say this, you was going to do this, and you didn't do that, and you probably misspoke about this. You called brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Now, that ain't right. You know, all that stuff happens. Things in the real world happens. But I just can't thank you enough, the ladies in our church, because you, honestly, fellas, think about this. And I was really studying on this week and this morning. Imagine what our church would be like without the women of the church. How much would actually get done, Brother Nathan? I mean, seriously, how much would actually get done? You think about regular Sunday services. You think about Wednesday night services. You think about Bible school. You think about the choir, you think about what goes on, how important this is. The ladies are to our church and to the ministry. Sometimes I think that can get overlooked. Sometimes I think it might be by way of, if you read through about a lot of the verses that talks about women submitting to their husbands, wives submitting to their husbands, but you know, really thought about it a lot this way. Look at the leadership that we have in this country? How much of you are so excited to follow the leadership that we have in this country? Now, we love our country. We want to protect our country. We want our country to be the best it can be. But how many of you are so excited to follow much of the leadership that you see? You know, that's when we would start looking for Bible verses that says that, well, we'll follow godly leadership, and if it goes in contrary to the gospel, we won't follow that. We would take pride in that as men, would we not? But you know, the ladies, they're supposed to follow their husbands, right? Is that not what it says, submit? What if we're not the leadership that we're supposed to be, men? What are they supposed to do? You know, a lot of this really comes down to and boils down to trust. I thought a lot about this. I guess a lot of this will probably just be testimony this morning, but we're just going to let the Lord lead. But this message, as much as it is, I guess, directed to or for the ladies, it is for everybody here this morning. Husbands, if you've got a good, godly woman, you better thank God for it. I'm just going to be honest with you. You better thank God for it. If you hear this morning the younger ones, these kids, you better just pay attention and listen, because there's a lot that comes at you. And I'm going to say it like this. How many of you been married for several years? Now you're looking back on it. You look back to the day that you got married. Is it what you thought it was going to be when you were looking toward it? And I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but boy, there's a lot of heads turning around. But is it what you thought? I thought about myself. I was around 24, I believe it is, when I got married, and I thought about it. I look back, Brother Tony, and I was such a different person then. I was so naive then. As a young person, you think that you're ready to take on things a lot of times quicker than what you really are. And you think that there's this natural progression to life, which really in a lot of ways there is. But you can be prepared for it or not prepared for it. That's why it's so important that our young people really pay attention to what's being taught in God's Word, what's being taught in church, in Sunday school, and preaching. You know, you are a husband or wife probably in training right now. Because you could say this, I wish I would have known this before I did this. Well, here's your opportunity to know now. The younger you are and the more you start taking this in and start saying, this is what I need in a husband, this is what I need in a wife, it starts today. Because if you look back and you say, I wish I would have known this, now's your time. Now's your time to know. You think about godly leadership and where it comes from. You think about Adam and Eve. We'll be talking about them this morning. I thought about this. You know, Adam, he was created, right? He was created. He wasn't born, but he was created. And then after you have Adam, you have his wife Eve created. But you see, they were not born. They could not look back on mom and dad as how to raise a family. Ever think about it like that? I hadn't until probably just this morning. They had to trust God. God, how would you like for me to raise this family? You imagine Adam and Eve, the first time they have a child, the first child they had. Now we've got to raise this child. Now we've got to figure this out. How do we do this? You see, God gives us in His Word a game plan for that. He shows us how we are supposed to raise our kids and how things are supposed to be, and try to minimize surprises if we're going to try to live the way He'd have us to. But this morning, for just a few minutes, and I'm not really trying to just make a catchy title, but I prayed about it, not being anything irreverent or anything like that. But this morning, I just want to preach for just a few minutes on the title or topic of Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman. You know, you think about our Christian ladies and what they face in this day and time. I mean, we're being fought on every hand. I mean, the way that the world has turned around, I mean, you've got men that are trying to break women's records. Now, is that not just crazy? It's just crazy. You see how things are. We see how God created things to be, how He created us to be, how man and wife to be. And you see in Genesis chapter number 2, verses 20 through 24. There's a lot that can be said about our history and how creation came to be. We'll start here with these verses. And it says here, verse 20, it says, And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Father, I thank you for this day that you've given to us, the privilege and opportunity to be here. God, I thank you for everyone that's able to be with us here this morning, those that are listening live and those that are with us, God, here in presence. God, I just thank you so much for them. And Lord, I thank you for my wife. I thank you for Brandy and what she means to me, God. And Lord, I just pray that your guidance, your protection, your hand always be upon our marriage, God, and that we would be pleasing to you, God, that we would do what you would have us to do, always putting you first, seeking you out, Lord, the advice that we give, Lord, that we should follow that same advice and always seek you out in everything that you would have for us to do. Just keep your protection upon us, Lord, your blessing upon us, our church. Help us, God, to do those things that you'd have us to do, our young families and our mothers that are here this morning. God, our fathers, everyone that's here, God, I pray for your protection around them and upon them, God. Lord, just help them and be with them. I pray that you go with us during the time of fellowship and just lead us and guide us, Lord, in your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I really like seeing how this starts out in verse number 20. Just trying to break it down in a few verses. Sometimes it's easier maybe to try to take a bite off more than what you can chew during a 30-minute to an hour period of time. But I just thought it was really interesting here how things had progressed and how God had set things into motion. We see and we start here with Adam. All the animals have been created, and Adam has been created, and he is tasked with naming all the animals. That is remarkable unto me when you see all the scientific names and everything that's been learned throughout time and how they have all these different names and that describe how they are and the function of the animal and what have you. And it comes back to one man naming all of those animals. That's an amazing thing to me. I think Adam was a smart fellow. I really do. The Lord told him, the Lord had created him, and you see what he's doing. He's going out and he set out to name all the animals. But you know what Adam's primary function was when he was placed in the garden? Very interesting. I think we can learn a lot from what you would call primitive man, which is probably far supersedes our mind thought today with many people. But you know, he was supposed to keep the garden. He's supposed to till to keep the garden. That's what he was. He was a farmer. He had the whole earth, and that was his land. Think about that. He was supposed to tend the garden and to keep the garden. Adam's primary function was to grow things. That's what he was supposed to do. If you think about you and I today as fathers, you know, that's very much what you and I are supposed to do. Help things grow. We've got to provide for our families. You see, you can take it a lot of different ways, business ways and what have you, but we are to help our family grow. If the spiritual growth in our families is not where it's supposed to be, then fathers, we really got to look in the mirror. I think sometimes we expect our wives or mothers to do things that we are supposed to be doing. We expect them to be Wonder Woman. We expect them to do everything. But that is not what we're seeing here in the Bible. You see, Adam was supposed to be the one that was tilling the land, growing the land. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to all the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. He was alone. I would say several times that I was just kind of trying to envision my mind. He was seeing the species, all these animals. He was seeing them out together, and he could see them as a couple, and he could see them grow, and he was by himself. He wanted a helpmeet. He needed a helpmeet. I need a helpmeet. Fellas, trust me, you need a helpmeet. We need that. There's nothing to joke. No joking about that. What is a helpmeet? A helpmeet is a helpful companion, or a partner, especially one's husband or wife. And help, that means to aid or to assist, to lend strength or means towards effecting a purpose, to help. To to help. You need help. You know, I was thinking about our leadership again. A lot of times when things aren't going right, you look around the nation, you say, well, look who's in charge. That's the problem. Look who's in charge. Why are things not running like they're supposed to be running? Why are our families not running like they're supposed to be running? I think it has a lot to do with leadership. Not the help, but the leadership. I was thinking back to when I was younger. Again, talking about trust. Fellas, have you given your wives a reason to trust you? Trust you enough to follow you in the hard situations that you're going to come into in life. You see, as you grow and you learn by experience, we learn by experience in the workplace. If you have bad leadership, it is hard for you to follow that. Is that not true? Now, you want to help it along and say, I wish it was like this. It would be easier for me to follow this person. Maybe if they'd lead by example or if they'd have realistic expectations of me, it'd be easier to follow them. Well, husbands, look at how we are leading our families. You ever look at it that way? Talking about trust. One of the hardest things to overcome are past mistakes. Things that you dealt with early on. I say this, you know, when you're younger, I grew up in church, and so I have no excuse. But I sure could have done a whole lot of things better, Brother Terry, than what I've done in life. I'd started chasing. I'll just be honest, at that time, about the time I got married, I'd started chasing a career more than I was chasing God. I did it in the name of service. I felt like it was a good thing. I believe law enforcement is, and I support them and believe it's a good thing. But, you know, that became more important to me than going to church. That's a problem. That's a huge problem. If you're going to lead your family right, you need to be in church. No questions about it. No ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, no question about it. And so if you get out of practice of that and you're supposed to be what you're supposed to be, it just messes everything up. How are we going to teach our children to do things that we're not doing ourselves? It just doesn't work that way. They're going to take what they see versus what they hear many times over, and that's what they're going to do. That's how they're going to respond. But you see, Adam needed help. God realized that. God saw that early on. You see in verse number 21, it says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof instead. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto Adam. And Adam said, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So you see how this was, how God orchestrated this to be. I'm sure you've probably heard preaching along these lines, talking about the rib, and found some interesting facts about the rib. The rib is a protective bone. It's different than a lot of other bones that you have in your body. The bone attaches, the rib attaches to the spine, and it comes out from the side, and it encapsulates the vital organs. There's 12 on each side. And it serves to protect the heart and the lungs. Again, the vital organs. When you look at the spine or you look at the ribs in a ship, is the way it's described, it is to strengthen the sides of the ship. It's a strengthening bone. But it's different. It's also a more fragile bone. I think the most fragile bone that I found in my study is the clavicle bone, because it's up here and it's supposed to expand and contract. You know, when you and I breathe, it expands and contracts. Thought about Brother Raymond again, accident that he was in some time ago and having those ribs broken. You know, certain bones of the body, any bone that's broken is going to hurt more than others. Some will hurt more than others. I was thinking about the arm, the hand, fingers, the leg, and some of those bones. You know, you could probably take some medication and lay there and not move and find some peace with that. But you know, the ribs are different. It's a different bone. Do you know the ribs move with you as you breathe? As you live, those ribs move with you. You say, I hadn't really thought about it much. I've not broken one, but I bet if you broke one, Brother Raymond, you'd probably know, yeah, they move with you as you breathe. You feel that? As you live, as you move. See, the rib is a really interesting bone when you think about it like that. He didn't take it again from the head to be the ruler, the foot to be underneath, but he took it from a place to protect the heart. I find that very interesting. We ourselves cannot trust our own heart, the Bible teaches us, but there's a protection in place there. You say, really, preacher, do you believe that? You believe that? I believe that with all my heart. There's times that, I'll give you this example, there's times that if I'm driving down the road and somebody has a question at work or something, and I'll say, honey, do you care to send the text for me? And she'll say, sure, and she'll take that. She'll do it. She'll say, what do you want me to say? And I'll say this. And she'll type it up, and I know she's not saying what I'm saying. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. If you've done that, you know why. And so what she'll do is she'll read it back to me. And you know what she does, Brother Tim? She softens it up a little bit. I said, bunch of snowflakes, can't they handle what I'm saying? I'm like, they ask a question, I'm just telling them what to do. Now, you don't have to put honey, bunny, sweetie pie, peas. You don't have to put that in there. Just do what I'm asking you to do, you know? But you see, the heart of a woman is different. It's just different. It's a different experience. You see, in Proverbs 31, 11 through 12, it says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. That's a protection. If you have a wife that you can trust, that is protection. That is God's protection and provision for you. So that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Well, that's a tall order, isn't it? All the days of her life. You know, men, we could make that harder or easier on our wives. We really can. I've thought a lot about that. It's easy to get impatient or have a lot on your mind or be busy and be frustrated or something like that and have your mind focused on getting this done and expect everything else to get done. You see, a helpmeet is not one that means I'm going to do it all. It's the help. See, the man is supposed to lead and take part and do what he's supposed to do, and the wife is supposed to come along and help, not do it all. It says here, have no need of spoil. That means waste or corruption. You know, God really thought things out when he created a woman for a man. Someone that he could trust in, someone that he could talk to. I really appreciate the conversations that Brandy and I have. It's different. At work, I work primarily with a lot of fellas, and you know, when we plan out things, we're kind of more just kind of direct, not really thinking about feelings and things like that, you know, but it's kind of more of a direct thing. But when you're talking about young kids, when you're talking about a different aspect, it's so important to be able to reach all people. That you don't get understood, that people understand what you're saying. I'm not saying not to be firm or not to be compromising, but there's just some times that when I'm trying to get the words out right, Brandy will say, you might want to say it this way. You know, Brother Allen, I appreciate that. I thank God for that. We're all different. We see things in different ways, and I thank God that I have a sounding board that I can trust. You know, one of the big things I like too, when I talk to Brandy, I know it doesn't go from Brandy somewhere else. It stays with Brandy. That's huge. It's not, hey, did you know this? Hey, did you know this? Or whatever, and get passed down the line. When I talk to Brandy, it's like talking to myself. Is that not what God intended when he made one woman and one man to twain together and become one? You know, we try to take care of ourselves, or we wouldn't want to hurt ourselves, but you see, if you're not careful, you'll see your wife as a second individual. But when you get married, God says you are one. That means you are to take care of her just as much as you'd take care of yourself. Things that hurt you will hurt her, vice versa. That's why it's so painful when the rib is broken. It moves as you live and as you breathe. I looked up the definition of woman. It says here, again, it said that Adam named her woman. It says the woman in the Noah Webster 1828 is the female of the human race. So it distinguishes a difference. It's not the same. And this isn't the topic of the message, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. A man cannot be a woman and a woman cannot be a man. Amen. I mean, You know, when you read things in the Bible, you say, why did God put that in there? The society that we're living in is why God put that in there. A lot of confusion, a lot of things going on. That's why I think people try to tell our young people things to get them confused. That's why it's so important to be in church, just the basics. This is the basics of our creation, how God set it in motion. He took Adam and he took him out of the dust of the ground and he breathed life into him. That's how man was created. And he took a rib outside of Adam and that's how he created woman. See, there's a difference. It's not the same. It's not the same. It's different than a man. Women are, this is the definition. Now, I thought, well, should I read this or not? It's a definition. It's what it says. It says women are soft, mild, pitiful, and flexible. Think about the rib. Very much just like that rib bone. God knew what he was doing. If I want a softer approach to things, I absolutely ask Brandy to send the text. Jason don't need to send that one. Not that I'm some hard-headed something, or I don't proclaim to be too hard-headed or anything like that, but she just has a softer way of saying things. But young people, I want to encourage you. Young men, I want to encourage you to think about what you want in a wife, because you have a direct relationship or responsibility in that. Again, remember I said that Adam, his primary function was to help things grow. Tend to things and help things grow. You know, that is our responsibility as husbands, is to help our wives and help our family grow. We're supposed to be the spiritual leader. That's how it's supposed to be. That's how it's set up. You see here in verse number 24, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. See, he's separating from father and mother, Brother Dale. That's what that means. Father, mother, and son is not marrying wife. The husband is. You know, a thing I see today that's a big problem is a lot of our young men, just like me, when I moved out to get married, was not ready for the world at all. And that was my fault. My mom and dad took me to church. I grew up in church. I knew the difference between right and wrong. I'd accepted God, but I wasn't putting God first in my life. I was chasing down a career. I was chasing down something that I could believe in, that I thought was going to be the end-all, be-all, and I'm not even in that career anymore. You see, God has a bigger plan of how we're supposed to be. If you put God first, he will direct you where you need to be, husbands. He'll help you to be who you need to be. You know, this setting in motion, the idea of what you would like in a wife, that has a lot to do with how you are. Are you ready to take on that responsibility? I know when I first got married, it was something else. I got married and I was so used to me and my friends playing Xbox that after I got married, my friends would still come over and want to play Xbox. That was just awkward. I'm just going to be honest with you. That was awkward. Brandy would take Josh upstairs and I would sit there with my buddies. We'd play and I was like, man, this is ridiculous. This can't be how God intended it to be. Brother Ben, I was an adult baby. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. You know? I mean, that's just all I can say about that. But you expect men, just think in your mind, you expect your wife to be this perfect being, but then you're not even engaged or plugged in. You're kind of doing what you always did. It's our responsibility to help our families grow. We will never get out of that. You'll never outgrow that. We'll never get away from that. Because God set this in motion. It says again, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. That means he should be ready to stand on his own two feet. When I met Brandy, this is kind of, I don't know if I've ever explained this before, but during a trip this week, one of my co-workers asked me, we had time, we drove down to Charlotte. He wanted to know how I met Brandy. Where I met her and how I met her and all that. I was like, sure, I can tell you explicitly. This is my closest thing of being able to understand maybe how Adam felt the first time that he saw Eve. This is my interpretation of that. One, I was at work. I was where I was supposed to be. And I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. I was at work and I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. I say that to say this, if you're out doing something you're not supposed to be doing in a place you shouldn't be, that's probably not a good place to meet a spouse. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. Clubbing and partying and running around, it's probably not a good thing, a good place to look for your spouse. But that's how it happened, and I wasn't looking. I wasn't looking for it to take place. People say if you quit looking, that's when you'll, and that's I can give testimony to that. Me and a friend, I was a security officer, he's a police officer, we're checking doors, we're checking buildings and going around checking in with people at night. That's what we did. That's what you're supposed to do. This one night, we went by the traffic office and seeing the people that worked there, and then there's another girl there that night I'd never seen before. Had the prettiest dark brown eyes I had ever seen. I was like, whoa, man. I mean, really, you know, that's my definition. I'll just go ahead and put that joke out there. It was so strong that I was kind of nervous, didn't really even talk to her at that time, and we left to go check more doors. And I told my buddy Fred, I said, Fred, we got to go back. I've got to talk to that girl. He said, man, we've got to check these doors first. And I was like, that's fine, but I got to go back. She's going to be gone. This is it. You know, that was a different experience for me. I've met people, dated, what have you, but that was just different. That was special. It was different. Went back, introduced myself, we talked, and you know, very few days from that day till now have we not been together. That amazes me. Because when I go back to who Jason was then and how naive he was then to see where we are today, I could have done a whole lot of things better, fellas. I'm just going to tell you. I could have been more prepared. I should have been more prepared. I should have been taking things more seriously. You know, when I was getting married, it was talking to her father, and he tried to drive away on the four-wheel every time I tried to nail him down and talk to him to ask him if I could marry her. And he did it on purpose to make it harder. I learned that afterwards. And I wanted to do it right. But you know, the questions of how are you going to support my daughter? How are you going to take care of my daughter? Most often, a lot of times people think about money and career, not Christ and church. And staying in a good church. See, that's how you grow. That's the hedge of protection. That's how you grow. I'm just going to tell you, fellas, if you want to marry and have a wonder woman, you've got a big hand in that. You got to help her grow. You see, it's protection. Verse 24 again, it says here, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Cleave, that means to be united closely in interest or affection. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter number 5. I'm going to close here. Ephesians number 5, chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Getting ready to close. I think back to myself before I got married and kind of how I was used to living by myself. I'd moved out of my parents' home. I had a town home, I was working, I had my own place to live, and I was used to being by myself, kind of just doing what I wanted to do, just kind of come and went and what have you. So it was easy for me to get locked into a mindset of I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. Marriage is completely different than that. You've got other people to think about. You've got your spouse to think about. You've got your children to think about. It's not just you anymore. You, I'm just giving it this example from a perspective of a man. It's not you are the center of your solar system anymore. They are. Christ should be. And everything should rotate around him. And if you're not doing that, I promise you, your road is going to be a lot harder than it should be. And God gives us warning. He gives us ample warning. He gives us ample instruction. Ephesians 5, 28 and 29, it says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. As much as you'd want to take care of yourself, you should love your wife enough that you're going to take care of her that same way. It says, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. We give the example, we're seeing the example that Christ gives as the church. How we see him taking care of the church is how we as a husband should be taking care of our wives and our families. That's a tall order. That's the biggest example that anybody could ever get or could ever have. You see the two things that it says here in verse 29, it says, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it. This ties right in with what Genesis is saying. You see the word nourish, that means to feed and to cause to grow, to support, to supply, and to cherish. Cherish, that also means to treat with tenderness and affection, warmth, and encourage growth. Isn't that an amazing definition? How much time do we spend with our families? I'm just being honest with you this morning. We're all very, very busy. And I know that's by design. You say, well, if we hang around too much, we'll start fighting and fussing. Then we got to get away from each other so we don't fight and fuss and so we can stay together, you know? You think about what's being taught here, how to grow. How am I helping Brandy to grow if I'm not with her, if I'm too busy? If my mind is on something else? I like to tell you, young people, it gets easier as you get older, but it doesn't. It doesn't. That was one of the biggest misconceptions that I had growing up when I saw older Christians in church. I would look at them and I'd think, Brother Curtis, they have it easier than I do. They've lived their life. They've been through this. They've been through that. And they don't have to deal with it like I do. So they've got it made. They can just float on in and they've got it made. But you know, that's not true. It's just as hard or harder as you get older as it was when I was younger. There's new challenges. Let me tell you this. Satan is not going to just give up and let you go. If he wanted you the day you got married, he wants you more than today. Let's put it that way. He wants you more today. Any little thing that he can do, any little wedge that he can drive, he will absolutely use that. I promise you that. He never loses interest in a child of God. Never. Why do you say that? Why does he give up on the child of God? Because the child of God that's getting close to God is the one that he wants. That's where he can do the most damage. You see, he knows, Satan knows, he is no competition for God. He's already seen that. He saw Christ risen from the dead. He knows he has the power to raise himself from the dead. He knows he's no competition for him. Satan knows that. But you know what Satan knows? He knows that we're no competition for him. You know, I'm a pretty big boy about things. I can get my feelings hurt. We live in an offended nation, an offended time, and I can get my feelings hurt, but I can get over it pretty quick. But if you hurt my child, then that's something that stays with me. So that's Satan's goal. That's his plan. Hurt God's children. Hurt God's children. That's his plan. But we see here again, it says, verse 28 and 29, says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. That means you want to take care of the unit. You are now one. All these fusses and fightings and all these kind of things, again, I know we're real people. Let's just quit pretending like we're better than what we are. I've heard people say, I've never fought with my wife, Brother Norman. I have, and she's fought with me. We both have taken licks. I'm not talking physically. I'm talking just, it blows my mind that people can say, we've never had a fight. I'm like, man, I don't know. More power to you. I don't know. I have my way of thinking. She has her way of thinking. But, you know, as you grow together in a marriage, as you grow together, it should be more and more like just one flesh. I don't know how else to say it. The Bible, that's exactly what it says. It should be like thinking to yourself. It should be communing with yourself. You don't want to fight with yourself, but you want to reason together and come together and make the right decisions for you and your family. Not be in contrast or argue that. Argue against her, argue against that. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. You see, after you get married, it's not just you and what you want and trying to figure out how you're going to keep doing your thing. It's about doing it God's way. It's about taking care of your wife. I know that might sound a whole lot of like a Mother's Day type thing or whatever, but I just wanted to say that. I know that this is Pastor Wife Appreciation Month, and I want to tell you, Brandy, I appreciate you. It's scary having you up here. I like it better back there. There's more people in between us. It's different like this, but I do. I appreciate you. I can't say that enough. I know it's not been easy. We faced things you didn't know, and I didn't know that God was going to call me to preach, and this is what it was going to be. I didn't know that. You didn't know that. But it's an amazing experience to see how the Lord moves in your life and how he protects you. But I'm going to tell you, you can minimize a lot of your heartache if you'll just put God first. If you'll follow him right now. Study your Bible. He says, a young person, what can I do to be prepared to be a husband or be a wife? Study what God's word says about marriage. Study it. Study it. Look for it. I've said this before. Trying to counsel people about getting married. You know, the Bible says a lot. You can see in different places it says for the husbands to submit to their, the wives to submit to their husbands. If you're looking to get married, if you can look at the man that's sitting beside you and you can't trust him enough to follow him, get out of it. Point blank. Point blank. It's that simple. I'll just simplify that for you. If there's not enough trust there, get out of it now. Save you a lot of heartache. Save you a lot of trouble. But that's the message this morning, if you will. I'd ask for you to stand with me.